Good morning, and welcome to all of you, and welcome to First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, on this second Sunday of Advent, on a beautiful, beautiful December morning. If you are a longtime member here, it is good to see you back here again today. If you are a guest visiting from out of town to Savannah, or whether you're even just a guest here and live in Savannah, it is great to have you here, and we hope that you enjoy this next hour of worship with us. So, if we can, let us join together as we worship together.
In the wilderness, a voice still calls out.
Still proclaiming.
Still urging all to listen.
To prepare.
To ready themselves.
But the darkness still pervades.
Doubt hovers in the air.
Both threaten.
Both intimidate.
Both seek to impede the advent of light.
How could God come to a world so dark?
How could the Prince of Peace make a home in a world so broken?
The voice shouts above the clamor of darkness.
Even in this world of sin,
the embodiment of wisdom and understanding comes.
And the wolf shall live with the lamb.
And people of every race shall reside together as one.
Even in this world of sin,
the spirit of counsel and might descends.
And the cow and bear shall graze together.
Their young shall lie down together.
Black and white.
Republican and Democrat.
Jew and gentle.
Male and female.
The people of God shall live together as one. Even in this world of sin,
the God of knowledge and righteousness becomes us.
And the child shall put its hand on the adder's den.
Prejudice shall cease.
Hatred shall fade.
They will not hurt or destroy.
For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord.
And a little child shall lead them.
Despite our shortcomings.
Amidst our hatred and our racism.
In the face of our blatant denial.
On the heels of our preference for ignorance. Christ becomes God with us. So we light a candle this morning.
Because even in this world of sin,
Christ brings peace to penetrate the darkness.
To push back doubt.
To heal the brokenness.
Because in this world of sin,
a little child
who comes to us and to the world
shall lead us all. Let us pray. God, whose voice calls to us, who sends prophets to deliver your words, we know that you are a God of peace, one who promises to bring rest to the weary, transform hatred into love, and create justice for those who have none. We have gathered together this morning to worship you. We pray that you would meet us in this place. Fill our minds with your wisdom and our hearts with your understanding. Help us to push aside negative thoughts that only breed hatred, to replace feelings of jealousy and revenge with those of contentment and forgiveness, to remind ourselves that you have created all persons in your image, and you call on us to love and serve and work with all of your people. May our worship together open us to take on the challenge of your dream for wholeness and harmony for all of creation. And may we take comfort in knowing that even in this world of sin, you come to us. We pray these things in the name of the child who comes, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Would you join with me as together we affirm our faith? We believe in God, who has triumphed over darkness with light, who has shown compassion to deliver humanity from the consequences of sin. In the greatest love, the only Son of God was given for our sake. We believe in the coming Christ, who establishes the eternal kingdom of heaven. In Jesus, our redemption has drawn near, and we believe he was born to be our Savior. We commemorate his birth in this season, but we also confess these days to be the advent of our Lord's return. We dedicate ourselves to be alert in prayer, guarding our hearts that the Lord's day should not catch us unexpectedly. We live not knowing the day or the hour when the Son of God shall come. Nevertheless, we commit ourselves to be the church, whether gathered in worship or in daily walks as Christians. By ministry and mission, we pledge to share the good news of Jesus' birth, that all people may come to know him.
Thank you. First lesson, Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, the faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatting together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed their young, and their young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaning child shall put his hand in the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as an ensign to all the peoples. Him shall seek the nations as the nations seek, and his dwelling shall be glorious.
Our second lesson this morning is from the letter to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Our gospel lesson for today is taken from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 3 and reading the first 12 verses. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the written word of the Lord. Advent always seems to me to be a season of great contradictions. Why is it that these weeks, which are supposed to produce in us contemplation and reflection, tend to keep us so busy and preoccupied, not with God, but with ourselves? Why is it that these days of peace and joy often produce just the opposite in us? Why is it that this holy season sometimes leaves us with our minds too full and our hearts too empty? The contradictions of Advent, we all seem to live with them. There's a wonderful 18th century rabbinic tale involving a worshiper named Ben Ezra who went to worship on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and prayed long and hard in the synagogue. An impatient rabbi there finally asked him why he was taking so long. And Ben Ezra replied, "I will tell you what I have been saying. To the master of the universe, I pray and I say, these are my sins and I confess them. I argue with my wife, but you know my wife. I lost patience with my children. But what parent doesn't? I cheated a little in the shop, but just a little, among friends. How small my sins are, Master of the Universe. Now consider your sins. You dry up the sky and our crops wither. You let the rains come before the poor man has the roof repaired. You do not stop war, and young men die. The marriage bed is empty. There is no child in the womb. You take away the light from the eyes of a child, and he is blind. You take away loved ones, and we are left alone until we die. These are your sins, Master of the Universe. And they are very great. But I will make you a proposition. You forgive me my little sins, and I will forgive you your great ones." "That was my proposal, Rabbi. And I ask you, was that so wrong? The rabbi didn't answer for a long time, but then finally he said, "No, Ben Ezra, it was not wrong. It was not wrong. But why did you drive so small a bargain? For sins like these, you could have asked him to send the Messiah. You could have asked him to redeem the world." This Christmas story begins with exactly the kind of world that all of us live in. And it is a world marked by some extreme contradictions at times. On the one hand, we anticipate the birth of our Savior and Lord, even Jesus Christ. We speak of him as our Prince of Peace, one who came into the world to heal broken relationships, to love, to restore in us our true humanity. And yet, our world at times reflects anything but that kind of transformation. We sing all the way to Christmas Day about this Christ child who came to us to show us God's love and how all of creation would one day live together in harmony. In Isaiah's prophecy, wolves and lambs one day live in peace, cows and bears lie down together, and children play over the nests of snakes. But whatever kind of otherworldly that zoo is, it has not arrived on this earth yet, has it? The contradictions there are many, and we are still living with them all. Read the headlines in the Savannah Morning News from just this past week. The widow of an art gallery dealer slain this past September while simply walking home from dinner generously donated several pieces of art from his collection to students at an elementary school in Pooler. A Somali-born Ohio State University student plowed his car into a group of pedestrians on campus and then proceeded to get out of the car and to stab a group of people, injuring a dozen persons or more. A 15-year-old boy arrested for armed robbery here in Savannah after a woman reported that she had been robbed at gunpoint in her Washington Avenue driveway. An estimated 250,000 people in Aleppo, Syria were trapped in wretched living conditions as civil war there continued, rendering medical care practically non-existent and with food supplies running perilously low. A letter from a group calling itself Americans for a Better Way was sent to the Islamic Center of Savannah, referring to our Muslim neighbors as vile and filthy people and children of Satan. Meanwhile, other faith groups in our city responded with kindness and acts of love, including some of you. And just this past Friday, a former pastor of a church here in the historic district pleaded guilty in federal court to embezzling more than $200,000 from his congregation. And on and on and on the list could go, couldn't it? Even as we recall the first advent of our Lord and prepare to celebrate his coming to our world again, we acknowledge the contradictions. This world is not yet the kingdom of our Lord. Christ comes, but it is to a world marked by sin and brokenness and a distinct lack of peace. But this, after all, was precisely the message offered by that prophet of righteousness, John the Baptist. It's no accident that the gospel lessons for the second Sunday in Advent each year focus upon John, that voice crying in the wilderness, that prophet who came decked out in a camel hair coat, eating locusts and wild honey, while screaming a message of repentance and faith to the nation Israel. Repent of your sins, he said, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Those were especially difficult words for the Pharisees and Sadducees to hear, for John indicted both their conduct and their integrity. He called them a brood of vipers, which is to say a bunch of snakes, persons fully capable of the deadliest sort of action. And maybe worse than that, they were inconsistent personalities, he said, like trees that produce the wrong kind of fruit. Remember now, these were the religious leaders of their day, but they were filled with all kinds of contradictions themselves. Come to think of it, perhaps they were people very much like us. No matter how much we may want to avoid the issue, no matter how much we may desire to hide from reality, John the Baptist's sermon was true. We are called to confession and faith, to repentance and baptism. And this is because at our core, we are contradictory people. We are made in God's image, but still a part of the brokenness of our world. We are the crown jewel of creation, capable of enormous good, but nevertheless marred by sin and distorted by selfishness. One aspect of the Lord's advent when he comes is the full revelation of the kind of people we are and the consequences of character and conduct which await us. What Matthew recorded the angel as saying to Joseph earlier in his gospel account was true. Call the boy Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We might wish that this dark side of the Advent and Christmas story remained on the other side of Bethlehem, but it does not. Do you remember the account of Herod and the explosion that went off in his mind after the birth of Jesus? Perhaps he felt as though he had been mocked by the wise men, or that word of a new king threatened his reign and threw him into a jealous rage. This was the same man who had killed two of his own sons, and just 5 days before his own death ordered another to die. Whatever his mad reasons, Herod set out to rid himself of the new king of the Jews by ordering that all of the little boys in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under, be killed. He took no chances. He killed them all. The great New Testament scholar A.T. Robertson once suggested that this tragedy probably in that day involved at least 15 or 20 children, nearly two dozen 1- and 2-year-olds, probably about as many as you and I know on a first-name basis. What kind of monster would do such a thing? What brand of evil would destroy innocent life like that? How do you begin to explain that? And how could it be a part of this Christmas story? The answer lies in this truth. Anytime you encounter a light as bright as the light of the world, you're going to cast some shadows. The Lord came into the world in the form of Jesus, bright as the morning sun. And anything not transparent to the light of Jesus Christ was going to cast a shadow on the ground. That is seen in Herod, and exactly the kind of darkness he inspired. That is seen in the brokenness and the sinfulness of humanity in all too many places today. Truth to tell, not everyone and everything rejoices at the Lord's coming. There are forces of darkness and places of selfishness in the world today which want no part of God's anointed one or his kingdom. But recognize also that this was the same kind of world which God entered to bring hope. This is the larger message of the passage we heard a moment ago from Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul speaks of our God as being the source of hope, the God of steadfastness and encouragement. Just when the night seemed the darkest and that the dawn would never break, God sent his Son into our unpeaceful world. Carl Sandburg once wrote, "A baby is God's opinion that the world should go on." That is true at every birth, but it is seen best of all in what our God did at Bethlehem. Our world of hatred and prejudice, of sin and darkness, needed then and needs now this Prince of Peace. We need him because we live with this tension of love and hate. We have bigger questions than our little minds can answer. We need this Christ because we need some Advent hope and a center of peace in our turbulent, contradictory lives. Church historians, interestingly, tell us that for 1,000 years, up until the time of the Protestant Reformation, the four Sundays of Advent, the first four Sundays in the Christian year, were given over to the four last things, namely death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Now just think about that for a moment, would you? Can you imagine our choir processing into this sanctuary with banners emblazed with those four words on them during the season of Advent? Imagine lighting the candle of judgment up here in the Advent wreath this morning. Imagine a heartwarming Sunday before Christmas sermon on hell. That might really light up your chrismon tree. And yet still there may be a certain wisdom to all of that. All of these messages are true, though they may not necessarily go together in our minds, and they may not seem to be consistent with the season of Advent. In point of fact, we may need to think about the ending of things before we can think about their beginning. It may be that for many of us, we will need to ponder the silence of Advent before we can sing the songs of Christmas. Or by experiencing the loneliness of this season, we may actually find its joy. And like those earlier followers of John the Baptist, we may need to be confronted by our own sinfulness and brokenness in our world before we can appreciate the Redeemer when he comes. So, my friends, don't be too perplexed if life seems to be at odds with itself this time of year. The Lord is at hand. And don't be immobilized by all of the contradictions in the world. The promise of Holy Scripture is that our God is coming to set things right. Advent reminds us that our God is for us, for sinners, and is coming to do for us what we cannot begin to do for ourselves. For into our captivity, our exile of contradictions, our lostness in sin, God sent his Son Jesus to save his people from their sins. In another of his remarkable lines from A Little Town of Bethlehem, Phyllis Brooks wrote, "O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today." May it be so with all of us. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. We give you thanks, our Father, for these moments together. Cause us during this holy season to know again how great is your grace in rescuing us from our sins. And help us this morning to hear that voice crying in our own wilderness, causing us to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Thank you. believing as we do that our God hears us when we pray. Let us join our hearts together this morning, first praying silently and then offering to our God the prayers of God's people this day. Let us pray. Loving God, from the beginning, your living word has guided and corrected us. Your prophets have called us from disobedience and prepared us for the coming of your Son. We thank you today for Jesus Christ, who chose to come as one of us and lived among us full of grace and truth. In him we know forgiveness and the lifting of burdens. He brings light to our darkness and opens our eyes to your great glory. Lord, in your mercy. Reconciling Lord, we know that you have entrusted the church with the message of reconciliation in and through Jesus Christ. We believe that you have called the church to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We believe that the church is called blessed because it is a peacemaker. And we know that the church is witness by both word and by deed to the new heaven and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. Lord, in your mercy. Patient God, thank you for accompanying us in our waiting and feeding us on our journey. Let us receive this day the bread of life and the cup of blessing with joy, as we await the full expression of your reign upon the earth. May this food and drink sustain us and give us courage to be your faithful people, bearing witness to your great love. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal God, as we wait for the fulfillment of your kingdom, use the gifts of our lives to bring justice to those who are oppressed, to set free those who are in prison, to lift up those who are bowed down, to pray for those who are hurting or healing or grieving, and to uphold those who are vulnerable. And especially this day, we would pray for Lim and Eleanor, for Lynn and Carol. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we magnify you today, rejoicing in the one who comes to scatter the proud, to lift up the lowly, and to fill the hungry with good things. And we pray this morning using the words our Lord Jesus taught his disciples when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."
Lord, please don't take
in this season of giving, let us be generous with the gifts God has given to us. May we give of our resources and ourselves so that all of God's children know of the peace that Christ brings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, through your prophets, you have promised us a world where justice and mercy would reign, where knowledge and understanding would prevail, and where the poor and weak would be the recipients of compassion. You sent Christ to give us the vision of this kind of world and then gave us the Holy Spirit that we might work to make it so. As we give our gifts this morning, may you use them and us to help bring about a world where love, mercy, grace, and peace reign supreme. We pray this in the name of Christ to come. Amen. In this season, as we anticipate Christ coming to us again, we seek to imitate how he lived his life and to remember that life by following his command to eat the bread and drink the cup. All who claim Jesus Christ as Lord are invited to participate in this symbol as a reminder of who he was, is, and is to come. Now, on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus, according to his custom, was celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples. And at this particular meal, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he said to them, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." the body of our Lord, broken for us all.
Scripture also records that in the same way Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ poured out for us all. Scripture also says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The invitation to Christian discipleship is extended now. What better day than today to profess your own faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or to come expressing a desire to unite with his church which meets in this good place. As we sing this hymn, and as you respond, we would receive you this day with great joy. Each Sunday, it is our good pleasure to welcome those who worship with us as guests at First Baptist Church. And if you are a visitor, a guest among us today, I know how much our people would enjoy the opportunity to meet you and to speak with you following the service. Quickly, by way of announcement, on Communion Sundays at First Baptist Church, we receive a benevolent offering in order to meet the emergency needs of homeless persons and the working poor right here in our own community. Ushers will be in the narthex following worship to receive your gifts. Also following worship today, there will be a fellowship hour in Lewis Hall, sponsored as always by members of the Fellowship Task Force. Please join us for this time of good conversation and refreshment following the service today. Later today, beginning at 4:30, we will gather at Savannah Square Assisted Living Community for our annual Christmas caroling to members at home and assisted living facilities, followed by a chili dinner at the home of Billy and Nancy Sutton. I say each year, this is one of the very best things that we do as a congregation. It always brings such joy to our members who are no longer able to worship with us on a regular basis. And we hope that you will join in all of that enjoyment and good ministry and fellowship later today. Additional details are available in the newsletter. And finally, on Wednesday night of this week, following our fellowship meal in Lewis Hall at 5 o'clock, we will gather here in this sanctuary for a service of meditation by candlelight. We will read scripture and light candles. There will be beautiful music, and communion will be offered. Join us, please, if you are able. And now, as we prepare to leave this good place, Would you receive the benediction and the response by the choir? Let us pray. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.